Thank you, Brother Eric. Folks, this is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Welcome aboard tonight. We got a barn burner coming down here tonight. As usual, we have some very controversial information to come down the King's Highway. Veil the Holy Spirit, praise Yahweh. We're going quickly now over to Isaiah chapter 11 to begin our message tonight. Part 2 of Christ was not a Jew. Well, we're dealing with actually the ancestors of the bloodline of Christ, as we read last night in Psalms 132, that the prophetic utterance was that Christ would come and sit upon the throne of David through David's flesh, praise Yahweh. Well, we proved that last night, and tonight we're going to continue the proof of scriptures that David himself could not have been a Jew or from the tribe of Judah. Folks, this is ground truth zero, and we are not pulling any punches tonight. We're sympathetic to your tradition only in a sense that we sorrow for you because that you've been led down the primrose path of deceit to accept that the Jews are God's chosen people. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. We're in Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. And the Spirit of Yahweh shall rest upon him, this rod, and wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are very, very, very excited tonight to tell you that indeed that the prophecies of Genesis chapter 49, where we read last night of the 49th chapter, and we are reading the 24th verse as we read in the prophetic utterances of the book of Genesis that Jacob gave concerning his 11th son, Joseph, to be the inherited birthright tribe, that Christ should come forth out of this bloodline, not a Jew. He could not come from Judah. He had no authorization from prophecy to be a Jew. Praise Yahweh. And so we're hitting hard with a big hammer here tonight, and we're taking no prisoners in the message. Praise Yahweh. Now, the Bible says, because you are neither hot or cold, he will spew you out of his mouth. And tonight we warn you, so-calls that are just on borderline, trying to make up your mind. You must get after this with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to accept the truth. Or you need to really backslide and get out of the way. Because if you become lukewarm or on the fence, Yahweh will deal with you. And it will not be pleasant, praise Yahweh. So a word of warning to those who are trying to ignore the message and hope that it'll go away. By the strength of good men and women that are supporting the Shepherd's Call, we're on Truth Radio tonight because of the love that our brothers and sisters have for the word of Yahweh. That is bold. This is verse 24, shall abide in strength. And the arms, here it is in the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Remember, it talked about a branch. He shall abode, and his hands shall be made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So the prophetic utterance of Joseph in verse 22, he's a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough and a well whose branches shall run over the wall? What branch do you know that ran over the wall of opposition that Satan had built? This is what it's referring to. That Satan would build a Babylonian wall of deceit and sow tradition into the heart, even of Israel. And I have proved that the serpentine seed has been with the house of Israel from its word go into Egypt. Matter of fact, two bloodlines of the Canaanite mixed race came down into the land of Israel, or to out of Israel into Canaan, rather, out of Canaan and then into Egypt. And so that bloodline, that serpentine Canaanite bloodline mixture, has been sleeping in the house of Israel. And, you know, like they say, politics makes strange bedfellows. Well, religion is even worse, ladies and gentlemen. Religion is vain unless there's truth attached to it. And Satan, the old master craftsman that he is, has devised and built a wall of traditional opposition to the truth of Yahweh, even positioning his sons and daughters into the house of Israel, and even into the chief seats. Remember, Yahweh sure warned us. He said, beware of the Pharisees, for they love the chief seats. Now, why was he bringing these truths to us in the New Testament era of time when he spoke adamantly against the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He told us to beware of the scribes also. These are the copiers of the holy text and the word. And ladies and gentlemen of good blood, Ham, we're going to the word and dig out the truth. Now, his bow shall abide in strength. And out of Joseph, verse 24, out of Joseph, this is the subject here, the prophecies of Joseph, out of Joseph shall come the shepherd, the stone of Israel, praise Yahweh. Now, isn't that wonderful information that the shepherd would give us this information here in the holy text? Now, we're going quickly over to the 46th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, praise Yahweh, and we're going to read a verse there concerning, let's make that the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to get into some scriptural text to prove that our Messiah came as a Ephraimite, praise Yahweh. Notice this, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. Now, who is the heathen that profaned the name? When they buried it, they hid it, they taught us, these Pharisees are the ones that taught us, these Jews, so-called, have taught us that the name of Yahweh is too sacred to be uttered from the lips of man, especially the Gentiles. Well, that's not what the scripture says. Now, chapter 37 is the chapter of dry bones. Folks, we're having a revival here tonight. I was talking to a good friend of mine today, and we were agreeing that there is a revival of truth breaking out across the airwaves of the world, praise Yahweh, and we know that the truth is the only thing that will penetrate or knock down that wall of opposition to truth, praise Yahweh. The word of Yahweh came unto me again, saying, this is 37:15, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it for Judah, and for the children of Israel his companions, and then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thy hand. Verse 19 says, saying to them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim. Oh, there it is. There's your birthright promise, ladies and gentlemen. The stick is the rod of authority that budded in Aaron's hand, praise Yahweh, as he was chosen as the chief priest, a type of Christ. Moses prophesied of him, a brethren that Yahweh will raise up from the midst of you, likened unto me, he said, meaning that this man would have all power in heaven and earth. Moses didn't have all power. He had only a positional power to work the signs and wonders to let the people know that the great name of Yahweh would be glorified in the darkness of Egypt. Praise Yahweh. Notice this. In the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. Praise Yahweh. Now, Yahweh's getting into the fray here, ladies and gentlemen. In the last days, the Bible said the mystery of Yahweh shall be finished. This is the last chapter of the mystery of Yahweh coming forth in the last days to anoint you into revelation to see and to know the truth. Now, quickly, we're going over to 1 Samuel. We're going to continue with the genetic bloodline pursuit of the progenitors and the ancestors of David. Praise Yahweh. And this is the first verse, 1 Samuel 16:1, if you're keeping notes. Quickly, I'm in a hurry. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Well, how long are you going to mourn for your traditional bell box mentality? You see, when a pastor like Brother Buddy, a shepherd with the truth and the rod of the stick of Ephraim, and I come and I begin to chastise you and break the mold of tradition and knock down the wall that is opposing your thought process to get revelation about our Heavenly Father. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you have long been lied to by those in power and authority. Beware of the chief priest that sat in the seat of Moses. Praise Yahweh. They want to stay under a dead covenant. When the Melchizedek covenant, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and the stick of Ephraim, Judah reunited, one stick. Better watch out. How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from being king? I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. There it is. Jesse is a Bethlehemite. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12, we read you last night. I want to drill this into your subconscious mind, as well as your physical mind here tonight, the mental state, that I could correct the errors and knock down the wall of partition that is separating you from the truth of Yahweh. Verse 12, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the most feared scriptures in the Bible for those that try to say that David was a Jew. Now, David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judea, whose name was Jesse. Praise Yahweh. David was the son of someone out of the tribe of Ephraim. Now, would that make David an Ephraimite? If Christ is prophetically uttered to come through the loins of David himself, and quickly we'll go to Psalms one more time, and we're going to 132 verse 11. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of David's body will I sit upon the throne. Ladies and gentlemen, Acts 2 and 30, there was a fulfillment that we read you last night in our pursuit of the truth. And this is ground truth zero. Does it shake your kingdom? Does it shake your mental state to know that Christ or David was not a Jew, but rather was from the blessed tribe, birthright of Ephraim? Oh, my, 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 my. This is ground truth. Praise Yahweh. And listen as I read it again for emphasis sake. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of his body will I set upon the throne. Now, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I teach them, their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. Now, that is, again, a prophetic utterance that Yahweh has given us that we might know the truth, and the truth would make us free. Ladies and gentlemen, there is promises by Yahweh in 2 Chronicles. We're going to quickly, chapter 13, verse 5. Ought you not to know that Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ was prophesied that he would come from the loins of David through the genetic flesh line, then David had to be from the royal tribe of Ephraim. He was not a Jew. When he was set over the kingdom of Judah as to be king and then to reunite Israel as king, he was astonished that Yahweh would send him down to rule over Judah, because he made the statement, praise Yahweh, that he was astonished. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to the 16th verse, praise Yahweh. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. Now, notice that Yahweh, his truth endures forevermore. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and to Gilgal and to Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. Now, of course, we're talking about Samuel. Now, let's find out who Samuel was. And the scripture is, again, in revelation form, giving us the truth of the word of Yahweh. Now, Samuel's birth is recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramoth Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkaniah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, an Ephratite. And he had two wives, of course, and then he was given the promise, as Hannah gave a worthy portion, and then Hannah conceived and brought forth a son and called his name Samuel. So we see that Samuel himself is an Ephraimite. Now, quickly look across the page in the separation of the first book of Samuel to the last chapter, again to the book of Ruth, as we reiterate that we're on the pursuit of truth, knocking down the wall and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Now, and verse 21, chapter 4, Ruth and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. Now, to go to the first chapter, again, as we drill this into your mentality, we want your spiritual man to get free, ladies and gentlemen. Christ came to set the captives free, and those that sit in darkness and in the prisons of their own mind, bound by the Pharisees and the chief rulers who stood in the door, brought the knowledge of Yahweh, hid the true identity of the bloodline, both our covenant, and hid it even in our day until the last days when Yahweh said he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, the flesh of Jacob Israel. Racial covenant, two seed line identity dares to go where angels fear to tread. This angel Satan would like for me to just be quiet tonight, praise Yahweh, about this wonderful truth. You see, as long as he can rule as the hidden snake in the house of Israel, until you put the light on a bug, when you turn up a rock, you'll see bugs, and watch them scurry for the darkness as they are fearing the light. And that's the way the snake is tonight. They fear the light. And it came to pass in those days when judges ruled and there was a famine in the land, a certain man of Bethlehem went up to sojourn in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and two sons. His name was Elimelech. We just read it as a descendant. And his name and his wife was Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Malchlon and Shiflon, Ephratites of Bethlehem, praise Yahweh. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen. The truth is in the puffin. So we're bringing ground truth zero here of the truth that these were Ephraimites. You say, well, buddy, the Bible says they were living in Bethlehem, Judea. So what? Ruth was living in Moab. They didn't make her a Moabite because the Bible says she was an Israelite out of the book of Jasher. Now we know that the descendants here are Ephraimites, and from the tribe of Ephraim, Strong's number 669 is the scripture. Now, several laws and customs are involved in the book of Ruth. In the proceedings which led to the marriage of Boaz and Ruth, according to Deuteronomy 25, verse 5, if a woman's husband died and she was left without children, her husband's brother, there it is, was required to marry her so that there could be an heir to carry on the name of the man that had died. Since Ruth's deceased husband, Malchon, an Ephratite, had no other living brothers, she would most likely have remained unmarried. However, Naomi and Ruth decided to sell the land that belonged to the inherited of Elimelech, Malchon, and Chilion, and the historian Josephus explains that in this case, the nearest kinsman, hallelujah. See, ladies and gentlemen, how we're tying the bloodline of Ephraim into the bloodline of Christ. And David himself, not a Jew. Aren't you rejoicing tonight that you don't have to bow or play second fiddle to those who claim to be God's chosen people? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if the world had this knowledge at large, if Israel, scattered through the earth, had this knowledge that I'm teaching you tonight on Truth Radio, then the world of Israel could change drastically overnight. I'm talking about those at large, not that Palestinian sandbox there that is having trouble there tonight. Now, the nearest kinsman would customarily have had the first option to buy the land. Oh, enter Boaz. But he would also be expected to marry Ruth, the antiquities to Malchon, and he would have married his own inheritance, Ruth, chapter 4, verse 6. In other words, any children to give an inheritance to those of his own family name. Praise Yahweh. Notice this. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem it, bow my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Praise Yahweh. So now then, we have this famous Bethlehemite, verse 11, chapter 4, where Boaz marries Ruth. Now remember, Boaz was a kinsman. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pause now for a word from our sponsors. I'll be right back with the rest of the story. Let's continue now with the message, Christ was not a Jew. We're at ground code zero. We're in the fourth chapter of the book of Ruth. And we are at the 11th verse. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Now remember, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. As we read verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it. So the nearest kinsman to the brother of the Ephraimite could not redeem it. So then, now in this manner, in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to conform all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. The kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now, Boaz was willing to perform the duty of next of kin to redeem a piece of land so it could stay in the family. You need to go to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25, to confirm these standards that Israel lived by. that there was a man who was a closer relative than Boaz. Now, here's what happened. This relative, however, the plans of the closer relative, was complicated by the need to contract a levirate marriage. Therefore, the other relative deferred the option over to Boaz, who willingly married Ruth. The legal basis for this practice is found in Deuteronomy 25, verse 5 through 10. But the obligation dates back to the patriarchs of Genesis 38, verse 8. The legal ramifications of such cases were still being discussed in the time of the Messiah in Matthew 22, verses 23 through 28. It is to be noted now that Ruth did not shame the relative who refused to perform his duty by taking an iron. Remember now, we're talking about bloodline of Ephraim. Ladies and gentlemen, Ruth is the grandmother of David. And she had Ephraimite blood descending as the sons. Remember, Jesse was the son of that Ephratite Boaz here, and according to Deuteronomy, she was supposed to take off his sandal and spit in his face. Yet she did not present with Boaz this situation at that time. Some would suggest that Ruth was not able to do so because she was a Moabitess. That is an error. Others say it's because of her love for Boaz. Ruth did not want to marry the person who was the closest relative. If you will see in the book of Ruth, she wanted to marry the next closest relative, which was Boaz, who was the father of Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse then begot David. So then we see an inheritance factor here from the genealogy that lists these descendants, and we know that they were from the tribe of Ephraim. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if Christ was to come through the bloodline of David, how could he be a Jew? You need to wake up, praise Yahweh, and you need to see the truth. Now we're going over to 2 Samuel, and we're going to read in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And we're going to read the third verse, praise Yahweh, and we're going to talk about the third verse. Let me start at the second verse. The Spirit of Yahweh spake by David, and his word was in his tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Now then, now notice this, ladies and gentlemen. Notice this, the Rock of Israel. Remember we talked about the rock at length last night, how the stone of stone was the birthright symbol of the tribe of Ephraim. And these Ephraimites left Ireland and Scotland, and they journeyed to America. The oppressed, they were oppressed because the Bible says that the Ephraimites shall be hated among even the Israelites. And so their brothers, the Manassites of England, begin to persecute them and hate them. And they fled to America for religious persecution. Praise Yahweh. And there they begin to grow in the earth as a mighty nation, where Yahweh and his wisdom said that he would make them a mighty nation. Praise Yahweh. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. Now, notice David had numbered the people. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh's people is without number. Yet there is a particular tribe in the earth, and they are the bloodline descendants of Joseph, Ephraim. Here it is in the 48th chapter, and we are talking about the first verse. And it came to pass after those things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Verse 7, as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, which was yet a little way to come unto Ephrah, where I buried her there in the way of Ephrah, the same is Bethlehem. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's where Christ was born. He was born in Bethlehem Ephratah, not Bethlehem Judea. You see, when Mary and Joseph, and she was heavy laden with child, she was in Nazareth, and she made her pilgrimages, as it was customary for Joseph to return, to return to his birthright city to pay his taxes. Now, I present this to you. Notice, he returned to Bethlehem Ephratah in the land of Bethel, and there he paid his taxes, a mere 7 miles from Nazareth unto Bethlehem Ephratah. Now, let's present the other scenario. Remember, the Bible said they went up. But if you would have left Nazareth and rode on a mule 65 miles of coal fires, this heavy-laden woman did not ride 65 miles on a mule, ladies and gentlemen, and her pregnant, and her almost to term. No. She only rode the 7 miles, which would have been feasible, and yet these Canaanite Jews changing the word from going up down to, and these word changes of script were what got Christ in trouble when he was rebuking them in the temple, telling them that they had changed the text. And when he came out, he warned us, beware of the scribes, because the scribes are those that post the scriptures as it is supposed to, in proper order. But he said, beware of them. Ladies and gentlemen, he was warning us that these translators of the scriptures, these copyists, would change certain of the text. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, that the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. We're ground truth, ladies and gentlemen, and we're coming at you tonight very strong. Now we're going to go to verse 11. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also your seed. So he was looking at Ephraim and Manasseh, and Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph, the birthright child, took both his sons, Ephraim in his right hand, toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can you see the scenario here? We had to have a crossed arm of Jacob. What do you think that the Confederate flag was designed after? The 13 stars that are in the bars that crossed. These are the crossed hands of Jacob, which symbolizes the flag of the British Crown or the Scottish Air Crown, the flags that are symbolizing the crossed hands of our father Jacob. Oh yes, the tradition and history of Israel runs rich and deep, but the Jews have caused us to forget our heritage. Praise Yahweh. And he stretched forth his hand, right hand upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom thy fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God that hath fed me all my life unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be upon them, and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them go into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now my friends, let me show you that the Bible says that Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim. It displeased him. Joseph was going with the protocol, knowing that the elder son received the blessing. But Jacob said, what I have done, I have done. Praise Yahweh. And the father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people. This is Manasseh. And he shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. When we were formulated in 1776, as a multitude of nation of people of Aryan Israelites came here from Scotland and Ireland, and we began to establish. We had 13 colonies of nations, a multitude, ladies and gentlemen. England's always been an island unto itself. And all it did was go out and conquer other lands and subdue it. And it became the empire of Great Britain. But which became the greater? Which is the older? England was established long before America. A matter of fact, we got our independence from England. Who is Manasseh? These Aryan prophets, these brain jackasses in the wind would have you to believe that Manasseh is England. That is not so. All of the prophecies turn and point toward a great land, and that is Ephraim, the United States of America. Hallelujah. And verse 20, and he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set up Ephraim before Manasseh. Ladies and gentlemen, the younger, the United States of America formed after Great Britain had been established. Great Britain has diminished in her power, and that is not prophetic. The Bible says that America will remain strong, and that America in the last days will be attacked by foreign powers of Gog and Magog. You better get your mind off the little sandbox, and you might want to turn your resources back to the land of promise. And we are sitting in the last days here in America. We're in a powder keg, and it's time to blow the lid. And here comes the gospel in the last days to give you the evidence. Now, 49 verse 10 again, we write, driving it home, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, we gave you the controversy in John 7, verse 1. Christ would not walk in Judah. They had a warrant for his arrest. Why did they hate him in Judah? Why did Herod the Jewite? Why? This was a Canaanite Jew, ladies and gentlemen. He was a mixed blood mongrel. He was a stranger to the commonwealth of the 10 nations that had nothing to do with them because of their mixture, praise Yahweh. And so we had a division. For Judah prevailed above his brethren, and of him came the chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph. Now, I dare to say, ladies and gentlemen, that the chief ruler didn't come from Judah. He came from Ephraim, praise Yahweh, according to the scriptures, or the scriptures are in prophetic era. But notice this. The genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birth. In other words, you cannot go into the genealogy and produce the truth, because he knew that these so-called, these scribes, would change the holy text. And folks, we've caught them with their pants down here tonight in the Word, as Ephraim is the blessed son. And notice this, Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. Now, in Malachi chapter 5, verse 2, we read you last night. Now we're going to Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look for another prophetic utterance that Christ would come from Galilee. The verse of Isaiah chapter 9 will prove it. Here we go now. Now, we're at 7:14. First, let me read. Here it is. Therefore, Yahweh himself, this is the 14th verse of Isaiah chapter 7, he shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Oh, my, my, my. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, it says, which is interpreted Emmanuel, this is he that would come, and they would call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted God with us. Ladies and gentlemen, I dare to go where many fear to tread and say that God, Yahweh, came in a flesh body and died for his sons and daughters and those that would honor his word. Now, we're over to the ninth chapter, and we're in the first verse. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vegetation when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun. There, if you will go up to Zebulun, you'll see the ancient city of Bethlehem up there. But before there was a Bethlehem in Galilee, northern tribe of Zebulun, there was a Bethlehem Ephratah in Bethel, where Yahweh gave Jacob the covenant promise that his seed would be blessed. And in the land of Naphtali, and afterward he did more grievously afflict her. By the way, we're talking about the seed of Rachel, ladies and gentlemen. Joseph was the son of Rachel. By the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. Here it is. We've got the truth. And the truth is the formidable force that will break the wall down and let us come through to the light. Because it says in the 8th chapter of the book of Isaiah and the 20th verse, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them, and many walk in darkness, and they have fear and torment. And yet the 6th verse will seal it down for us, that this Ephraimite would come as the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. For in the 6th verse it said of 9, for unto us a child is born. Remember, it said he would be of the seed of David. And I've proved unto you that David's ancestors were Ephratites. Praise Yahweh. What would Christ be if he come through the blood lineage of the sons of David? Praise Yahweh. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, and from henceforth, even forever. Praise Yahweh, because the zeal of Yahweh of hosts shall perform it. Ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh has done a work in the land. Oh, of course, Satan got involved. Of course, here come the Canaanite Jews, who say they're God's chosen people. They stole the birthright and prevailed over Joseph when they sold him into the darkness of Egypt. And it was symbolic that when Yahweh Shua came as a flesh man, that he himself would come down out of Israel and be driven into the land of Egypt, a type of Joseph. But there he would go in statue and wisdom, and he would come back to take the kingdom, praise Yahweh, forever. Now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. Remember, before that the ark was taken by David down to the city of Jerusalem, the Bible says in Galatians 4, 26, Jerusalem, which is above, that would have been Shiloh. And it says, when Shiloh comes, then the scepter will depart. Ladies and gentlemen, that place over there that they called Herod's Temple, Herod was nothing but a Canaanite Jew. Why did he want to build a temple? For glory and for the gathering of the wealth of Israel, where that they brought their tithes and offerings into the storehouse. Remember this now. They're liars, and I'll prove it to you. Just listen to this. Praise Yahweh as we go along. You see, the truth is forever settled in heaven. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing certainly can be taken away. Let us look at the scriptures here as we conclude our message tonight in the truth. Christ was not a Jew. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Praise Yahweh. He was an Ephratite. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Betty. If you'd like to call me after the show, I'll be here the rest of the evening in the studios here taking your calls. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. So this is Pastor Buddy, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock as we conclude the message of David was not a Jew, Christ was not a Jew, and the truth will set you free. Yahweh bless you tonight all over the USA and the world at large. Yahweh bless.